The play tells the story of a beautiful woman who was haunted by the specter of La Segua and takes a hard look at Costa Rican values, including ambition, hypocrisy, and follows themes of machismo, vanity, and narcissism. Again, that's La Segua, running February 7th to March 2nd on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights at 7:30 and Sundays at 2 p.m. at the Milagro Theater, 525 Southeast Stark Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
I'm Amanda Clem, and you are listening to Art Focus on KBOO 90.7 FM and online at kboo.fm. Today we're talking with Portland-based artist Manu Torres and his exhibition In the Office at Russo Lee Gallery on Northwest 21st Avenue. It's on view through March 2nd. Manu's floral arrangements often involve a dialogue between the artificial and the natural, incorporating paper, fabric, paint, and feathers, among other things, to imitate and exaggerate natural beauty in a hyper-real way. The exhibition in the office at Russo Lee Gallery consists of a large bouquet installation, along with photographic prints, and one of my favorite and most unexpected parts was the tapestry. So I definitely want to talk about that in a moment.
Yeah.
So Manu, tell me, how long have you been working with florals as your craft?
I think probably about a couple of years. I kind of started taking it more seriously. And then now I've just recently went back into, like, you know, my phone and looked at pictures. And I was like, oh, I was taking pictures of nature and flowers for like a long time. Mm-hmm. But I was never really, it never really clicked that it was going to be something that I will be doing in the future as like my job. Yeah. You know what I mean?
So you're taking
my art. Yeah.
Photos of natural settings.
Yeah. Yeah.
Specific compositions that caught your eye.
Yeah.
And then that did translate into you sculpting your own magical creation.
Yeah. Yeah. Eventually he all pan out, I guess.
Yeah.
And then I think, when I was a Yale Union and then helping them, and I guess Gary sort of noticed that I was playing around at home with Ikebana things. Mm. Like, just that was like a place where I started just like making it very, very minimal, and then just put in a couple of flowers, and I would just go to the market, not the market, but I would go to the grocery stores and just like pick some flowers that I thought that were not very common. Mm-hmm. And then that will catch my eye, and then I'll just come and I'll bring them home and I'll start playing around with them. And then eventually my community was just kind of like, hey, you're doing something that's kind of cool, you should like try to do it like more often. Mm-hmm. And then people I guess believed in me, and more than I did, because I was like not very like it would never clicked. Mm-hmm. But then, I had like a good support group that were like, yeah, you should try this out. And then I did, and now here we are.
Here you are. So in your practice, you're arranging, seems like, every day. If I follow you on Instagram, which is something I'd recommend to everyone, if you want to see these really, really beautiful floral arrangements that mix all kinds of different materials, as we already talked about. So the picture, the photographs on exhibition at Russo Lee, there's three pictures. Mm-hmm. And they're lit very dramatically. They're staged in a really Dutch flower painting, like 16th century dramatic way, with a dark background and the lighting.
Well, I guess that's also another thing that always been drawn to, the like Dutch paintings and just the Rococo, like, art. I don't know, it to me was always something that catch my eye. And photographing flowers and doing what I do, I always kind of like wanted to translate that in my own way, just not to be literal, because because you can just make something that is like straight up. Mm-hmm. That, but then I feel the way I do it is like I kind of like try to get some vibes of that, and also want to just give it my own spin.
Yeah, definitely. From far away, you definitely are drawn in by that initial like visual recognition, and then you get up close and you see the elements of the bouquets of the arrangements that are definitely abnormal. Like a lot of paper fans.
Yeah.
What was that inspiration from?
Might have started just because I couldn't get real palms here.
It's a very topical element. You don't find too much.
We don't really get that. And then looking at just like probably fashion or something, I saw like fabric just probably like draped that way. And I was like, oh, I'm pretty sure I could do that out of paper. And then I did look at books of Ikebana, and then I've seen that. I mean, there is so many elements too that are foreign to floral arrangement. There are not just like nature, like natural flowers. Mm-hmm. So it just seemed like a perfect match. So I was just like, oh, okay, so I can do it. And then that's how it all came together.
Definitely. Like the Dutch paintings were all flowers of different, that were in bloom at different times and in different places. So yours are also real and imagined, and various states of bloom too, I want to say too. So you also, there's an element of the natura morta, like the flowers that are really brinking on.
Definitely, like some plants that are equally as beautiful when they're alive, there's some that when they're decaying and dying are just so beautiful. Yeah. And then they're just like so dramatic, especially when you're photographing something like that. It's just like, you know, it brings all the drama for sure.
Definitely. The drama is all everything. It's everything. They're like the subtle glitter, the subtle elements of fabric too, which I also really liked because that adds this painterly effect too with the still life. So
it's like kind of blur-ish.
It really blurs the lines, And let's talk a little bit about the actual arrangement, the physical arrangement that's in the office right now. Can you tell me a little bit about how it was born?
Yeah, I think I had this idea. I mean, usually when I conceptualize an arrangement, which I usually don't, I should plan more for this. But I always kind of sort of just go with how I'm feeling or what's available for me, especially at the when it comes to flowers at the market. But then for this one particularly, I did have a color story in mind that ended up like getting a little crazier than I thought, that I imagined. Yeah. It was a little more settled, but that's usually how it goes for me. Usually it's not as crazy, but once I make it, it's like it becomes a little crazier.
It doesn't start out in your brain that way, but ends up.
It's definitely extra. Dramatic.
Yes.
It starts dramatic, but it just kind of like, I feel that with the stuff I do, I very, very little times I do something that is like so minimal. And even when it's minimal, it still is kind of like intense in that way that like the drama is like kind of crazy.
Yeah.
But for this one, I had this idea that I just wanted to have different textures, a lot of textures, just like so many textures.
There are. So let me describe it a little bit for our listeners. It's a large arrangement. It's probably about 3 feet wide.
Yeah, probably a little bit more.
At least, four if you count the extra fabric swath. It's purple tulle, light purple tulle.
Yes.
And there's many fans, paper fans. There's red, blue, yellow. There's greens. And there are peacock feathers or ostrich feathers. What are those?
Those are ostrich.
Ostrich feathers. They're bleached. Okay,
painted.
I wondered. They're yellow. So they definitely have this color that you're like, is that a natural? Is that a real bird?
In my head, it was.
Okay, and then my other favorite element of this bouquet, which was so unexpected, which was this, must have been also painted. Correct me if I'm wrong, but the...
Moss.
The pink moss. There's pink moss on a white branch, and it's hyper real. It's surreal.
I just wanted to have a lot of textures, so I immediately was like, I need to have fabric, something that drapes, and like, because I did it on top of this bookshelf, so I wanted something to like kind of fall, cascade down from the shelf onto cover the books and everything, and then I had this. I made all these fans and also the papers that are made of they're like velvet, and there's some shimmery.
They're shimmery and beautiful.
There's some like transparent paper with like some shimmer too. And I mean, that on its own, I was like, I can't just keep it minimal with this. It's already there. So I had to just. And one of my favorite flowers is in bloom right now. So I happened to like find it at the market.
Yeah.
So that kind of changed a lot of the materials that I used after that, because I just kind of worked around it.
What's your favorite flower?
It's called, I mean, and we know it as mimosa, which is like this yellow pompons mm-hmm. that are there.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, they're so tiny and they're so delicate. They're just like, it's like a huge tree that doesn't grow here. I think it grows like in more warmer climates, like California. Mm-hmm. I think that a lot of it comes from California. And the family tree, I think, is Celosia. I think that's what it is. It's really pretty, but they like humidity too. So, I mean, even here we do have a lot of humidity, but somehow it doesn't really like the cold. So they're like so fluffy, and as soon as they're like come out to the environment, they just kind of like shrivel and dry, and the fuzziness kind of just disappears, which is very heartbreaking.
Yes.
Yeah, but then the celac are left with like all these little like yellow dots everywhere, just like kind of like dancing around.
Yeah.
So I mean, they're still like super pretty, but there is there is definitely like when they're alive and like fresh, they're like so breathtakingly beautiful.
How do you find your inspiration, or you know, the flowers that you do end up selecting? Where do you usually get them, and how long do you usually spend in that place looking at flowers?
Well, here in Portland, we have a flower market that is the next closest one is in Seattle.
Oh.
And I think the I don't know about South, like maybe the other one might be in California.
Wow.
But like, I don't know what in California.
Wholesale
flower so,
market.
Yeah, it's a wholesale market. The normal public is not allowed to. You have to be a florist or like have an event company or like, I don't know, maybe I think people from restaurants maybe are able to go. But and then there is like a bunch of sellers there, and they bring stuff from all over the place, from all over the world. And I've been going there for like about a year now, and definitely get to know like a lot of flowers that I didn't know before, and definitely have my favorites now.
Yeah.
So I always kind of just try to keep those always in mind, but also I'm always wandering around and see if I find something else. If I have a plan, what I want, sometimes I order ahead of time, so I don't spend as much time, because I tend to do like spend a couple hours there, which is like too much.
Do you walk out with too much?
Sometimes I do. Like sometimes I'm like just making something, like a small piece, and I'm like, oh, I have a full cart of flowers. So now it's like I
guess you're making multiple.
Yeah, I'm like, okay. Or like I just leave it in my house, which is cool.
Yeah. Do you have a studio somewhere?
So I do. Like my studio, I have a studio in my house.
Great.
Which is part of my garage, but I storage all my stuff, and then I have a guest room that now no one can stay there but my flower. So no more visitors.
Or you could charge extra, because who wouldn't want to be surrounded by all of that beauty?
Yeah. I'll be like, okay, put it on Airbnb or something. Experience.
It's the artist experience.
Yeah.
Oh no, I think actually that's a thing. They'll probably
it
call you
is,
after
I
this.
Know.
Yeah. How long do you usually spend on any given arrangement? Is there a usual average?
Depends. I think. So a lot of if I'm making something that I already made before, and I'm not like trying to be innovative or like trying to do something different, which I feel like that's usually what I try to do all the time. I want to like make something different that I made before, just because I get bored very easily. And if I just keep doing the same, I'm afraid I might just not want to do this anymore.
Yeah. don't want that.
But sometimes it like goes super fast and I can do it in like 30 minutes, or sometimes I could be like very indecisive and it will take me close to like an hour and a half to 2 hours. But then a lot of times I'm not working under pressure. So I guess if I was working under pressure, probably I could do it faster. But
why pressure it?
Yeah.
If you don't need to.
Yeah.
So you're making arrangements fairly regularly then for not just your own practice, but you also have clients for mm-hmm. you there. These arrangements you can see in person. Where?
Cloud Forest is one of the places where you can actually see. Like, I try to bring one at least weekly.
And that's on Southeast Stark?
Yeah, Southeast Stark.
12th.
Sometimes, because I do use a lot of grasses and dry stuff, so if it's something that is going to last for quite a bit, I can leave it there for a couple of weeks or more. But I think I like making something new often. Mm-hmm. And people, I mean, I'm pretty sure they also like to have something new every, like, sooner than, you know, rather to wait, like, once a month or something. Yeah.
More regularly than that.
And then I guess that's the only public place that you can actually see them as of now.
And you do commissions then?
Yeah, I do commissions as well. Great. Yeah.
I want to talk a little bit actually about the ephemeralness of the bouquets. I keep calling them bouquets. The ephemeralness of the arrangements.
Some of them are bouquets, yeah.
And so when you are creating them to you know, for somebody as a commission and they are, you know, not going to last very long, do you immortalize them in a photograph immediately? Do you photograph all of the arrangements?
I try to. I think I do. There's a few ones that I have not, and then I'm always like kicking myself because I didn't, but then I always photograph them. I photograph them with three different devices, which is like two are phones. Yeah, all of us are phones, but they're like different type of phones, so they give me a different perspective on how they look and lighting and all these things, and it's a fun space. That's part of my creative process that I do. Yeah,
is photographing them.
Photographing
them. Oh, absolutely.
Them,
yeah. The results can definitely tell. Okay, so wait, sorry, you'd use three phones at the same time to photograph it?
Yeah, I mean, I've been wanting to invest on a nice camera, but also I'd never had one.
Yeah.
So I feel like it will be a lot of learning to do, which I'm pretty sure it will be fun, but then at this time, it's like, I mean, the technology on the phone just kept getting better and better.
That's so
I'm just like, okay.
I wouldn't have guessed that. Especially that it was shot on your mobile phone. Especially because there's one, the poster from Manu had an exhibition at S1, a pop-up show. S1 on Northeast Sandy. It's a contemporary art center. You should definitely check out their programming. And the poster from that show, correct me if I'm wrong, is this one of the same pictures that is on display at Russo Lee Gallery, but the image for the poster at S1 is very blurred.
Yeah.
Like dramatically blurred, but not dramatically enough that you can't tell that it's a floral, a really crazy floral arrangement.
But it kind of is.
But it kind of is. Tell me how that came across. I mean, that was one of the three cameras in play at the time.
I feel like I definitely am always kind of like very like fascinated by some of the things by nature.
Yeah.
The flowers, they're like so fascinating to me. And sometimes I obsess about them a little too much. And then just like seeing them, I just kind of freak out sometimes if it's like a flower that I like, and if I put it in some, like, I arrange it in a way that it just visually, it's just so like it looks amazing. Mm-hmm. I'm trying not to sound so much of like a nerd, but
no, you clearly love it.
Then seeing like some, when I think I took this picture once and it was kind of blurry, and then it sort of look more like a painting.
Mm.
And then because it was extremely blurry, it was just like slightly, that it just looked a little, the images were a little washed out. And I immediately like freaked out and I was like, oh my God, this is so amazing. And then I just kind of, that's part also now of my photographing process. I had to take a blurry picture of every arrangement I make.
So there's a still have a collection. A blurry image.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
So eventually one day, I think the idea is that eventually I will make a book with all those images, which I think will be amazing. Mm-hmm. I just need to find the budgeting for it. Mm-hmm.
There's some project grants out there.
Yeah, I know. I should be applying for those things.
We'll look at the cycle calendars later and see when you should apply this. Your pop-up at S1, those floral arrangements were taller. And there was one in particular that was just like larger than life, larger than human scale, with these big blue feathers and beautiful. Oh yeah, I'll never forget that one. How did that come to be, and were those site specific?
Felicia Ledesma, she was one of the people who started S1, mm-hmm. contacted me and. She was like, hey, like, I thought this, you know, like, I have this idea, we have this space, and I think it would be, really amazing if you are into it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I mean, it was my first art show, which I never really thought that making flower arrangements I could kind of, like, take into an artist route.
Yeah.
Which now is kind of happening in, it's, I like that because I feel like some of the stuff that I make can be a little too crazy for like to give somebody or like just for somebody to have mm-hmm. that just like put it in a show or just taking a photograph of it or, you know, I think makes more sense.
Yeah.
But I'm open. I think anyone can have it, should have that craziness.
Oh, absolutely.
So I made 3 installations, which it was... I guess 4. Yeah, it was 4 things. So there was like a back room that had this installation of battery operated roses that all lit up in a dark room. Right. And I made this little meadow that it was surrounded by this like amphitheater of. Just drapery out of velvet. Mm-hmm. And then I had this like this song that was just playing in the background. And then that was sort of like very like made specifically for that space because I thought the experience would be really cool to just be in that room and like just experience. It was kind of like very churchy like in a way too because it was very like reminded me of like I grew up Catholic. I don't, you know, but yeah,
that opulence. opulence.
It was like that. That kind of stuck with me, and then that was very like that.
Yeah.
And then I made this other piece that it was the one you were talking about that has that it was all these blooms just kind of like clustered together and this like massive arrangement.
Massive.
Yeah, the
like fireworks.
Yeah, and then that was like in the spring, so it was perfect time to do something like that because there was like so many rhododendrons around. Mm. So it had so much. Of those blooms and azaleas and lilacs, which I mean, the thing smells so amazing. I was like, pure japonica, which most of this, everything that it had there, it was local, which I was so excited for and like amazed just because that's like, stuff that like I've been photographing since, you know, since I've been around here. And I was like, always kind of like, it was back in my head. And when I put it together, I was like, oh, you know, like all these things that I like. Now they're here.
Now they're here in one arrangement.
Okay,
oh my God. and you also did some site-specific pop-up exhibition over at Heavyset recently, which was a collaboration.
Yeah, that was a collaboration with Lane Walkup.
And it was more sculptural, metal sculpture.
Yeah, I mean, she does like some amazing metal work and wire work. And we became friends, true friends. And then we were like immediately like, we should do something together. And I'm always like super down to like work and collaborate with fellow artists. And then Lillian Hardy where she was like, you guys should have a show here at this studio. Like, she was like, wanting to start this program, and she's like, I think you would be the perfect people to start this, yeah. to like open it up. She does a lot of mobiles. So I was like, I think it would be very smart and very cool to do something like that with plants, yeah. I think. So, and that we made this huge mobile that had, it was wire and dry plants, and they were painted in different ways. And I made some, also some stuff from grasses and stuff.
Mm. It looked like a giant floating plant.
Yeah, it's really cool. Yeah, so that, and then there was another piece that it was made just with very unconventional materials and a lot of dried stuff. It had feathers, had a banana flower, and paper. Gary, my husband, he is a printer, and he makes these amazing books. And one of my favorite pastimes is just to go through his trash and just read it. You know, I'm like, this is so good.
You're repurposing the trimmings from the books.
Yeah, and then I made like a fan out of that, and it has like this really amazing like color wash, like this gradient of colors, which is kind of like what I'm all about. Yeah. So it was... that incorporated that, and then there was like this chicken wire that was bedazzled with all these crystals and all this stuff. I think it was very like abstract, deconstructed like arrangement rather than an actual flower bouquet. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then we collaborated in that with that with the mobile, and then there was another pedestal that she did, like another like kind of like waiting like wait.
Mm-hmm. Like a tabletop mobile.
Yeah, yeah.
Balanced.
Yeah, like a balanced piece. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did. We collaborated.
Like Calder, yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool. And I want to go jump back a little bit to the blurry photos, and then also the tapestry, and then to take it back the Russo-Lee show that's on exhibition through March 2nd. The tapestry is something that I didn't expect, because I don't think I ever saw a little sneak preview of it.
I haven't and really posted anything.
That was just
it.
Such a wonderful surprise, because it did recall so heavily the Rococo, the richness of that, but also it is a blurry image. So
it is.
What enticed you to use that image or a blurrier one rather than?
I think something that was sharp and clear would have been very literal of a resemblance of something that I really like. And then I feel like that's, you know, it's very, you know, it's not, it's cool, but it's like not, it doesn't have like a moment, you know, it's not like unexpected. And then definitely, I mean, I like having a, you know, like when you look at things like art pieces or whatever, I don't know. You kind of want to like be intrigued by it in a way.
Yeah.
So I mean, also that's like thinking too truly into it, but I think ideally it's just because I like those blurry pictures a lot. And I was like, wouldn't it be great to have that in a tapestry in like huge, really like large size? And I've been wanting to do that also for a long time. And then I always sort of was just kind of like very indecisive about it. But then I did it. And when I saw it the first time, I was like, whoa, it might have been like a little too blurry. But then I was like, actually, because if you're too close to it, you're like seeing the tapestry and like all the textures and all that, because it's like it has so many textures and colors, and
it's
then
very textural and very abstract.
Yeah, but then if you like take two steps back, you're like, oh, wait a second, there is the arrangement,
is
and then you
rose?
Can see the roses, and I was like, oh my god, the rose.
It's like your eyes focus,
I know,
focus up at some point.
Yeah, and it's, I think that was pretty cool, and I was like, yeah, this is perfect. Like, I don't know why I didn't do that before.
How did you get that made? Where did you find it?
Just online. It was, like, also kind of dramatic in a way, because I decided to pull the plug on it, like, last minute, and it was, like, the holiday season. Mm. And so, like, everything is so backtracked, so I was just kind of like, oh, man, like, maybe I will not get it. And I got it like the day before the installation. Oh, the install.
Just under the wire.
I know, yeah. And then and I had already like sourced all the like stretching bars and everything.
Wow.
And so the day they arrived, like immediately Gary helped me put it, and like our friends that were visiting helped us put it together.
And I love it. I like so much that the tapestry is there, just the fabric element, pulling out the fabric element of the arrangement, and then, you know, having that visual texture next to the photographic prints that are really sharp and crisp and well lit is a really nice, it's a beautiful show.
Thank you.
So, Manu, thank you so much for joining us today on Art Focus.
Thanks for having me.
It's been really good. It's been really fun. We'll see more of you soon, I'm sure.
You can see more of Manu Torres's work at Russo Lee Gallery now through March 2nd. For more information, visit russoleegallery.com. You can also follow Manu on Instagram. His handle is at UUNNAAMM. That's Manu spelled backwards with two of each letter. You have been listening to Art Focus with Amanda Clem on KBOO, KBOO 90.7 FM Community Radio.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor Golden Years in the Red on Tuesday, January 29th at 5:30 p.m. at the Multnomah County Central Library in Portland. Golden Years in the Red with Student Debt will feature informational speakers and people who will share their stories about debt, including garnishment of Social Security checks for student debt when grandparents and parents co-sign student loans. Again, that's Golden Years in the Red on Tuesday, January 29th at 5:30 p.m. at the Central Library, 810 Southwest 10th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.